you been this week?
Not bad. How have you been?
I've been all right. I think we've both been super busy at work.
Yeah, we've been very busy.
And you know what? Being busy and having this podcast, you know, like, I feel like we're trying to do something a little different this week. You may have noticed that when you were going through this podcast feed, the episode title on this one is not a movie.
It says commercial break, yeah. Semicolon. Whatever catchy title we come up with. Not semicolon, it's a full colon.
It's a full colon.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Start over. we're trying something a little different this week. We're trying to break up the podcast feed a little bit, you know, like save the movies maybe for like in between weeks. And we're trying something different. This concept we've come up with, it's the commercial break.
Yeah, we are going to watch a handful of commercials from times past, some from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, I think. I don't know. I think there's one from the 2000s. It doesn't really matter.
There's one going all the way back to 1960.
The whole point is we're doing something different today.
We're doing something different because we figured, okay, look, we're a made-for-TV podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're watching a made-for-TV movie, you're going to run into weird commercials.
There's got to be a commercial in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't like being advertised things, don't worry, because we're not advertising these things to you.
No.
We're going to be talking about these commercials, hopefully like we normally do talk about these movies, maybe a little bit looser, you know? But if you are really all about, you know, oh my God, the way that they talk about the plots of those movies, I love it. Oh my God, I can't live without another one of those movies. Skip to the next episode. I'm really sorry.
You always tell people to skip to the next episode.
Well, it's like, okay, try it out a little bit.
Try it out.
But if you're dying for a hot plot, we don't have that here for you this week.
You never know. Maybe some of these commercials might have some real juicy plot details that we can get into. You know, we can expand on some of these.
I know when I listen to podcasts, sometimes I can zone out a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I worry about doing our extended, you know, hour and a half podcast that maybe people are listening and it's hard to kind of pick up and drop out and stuff. This is going to be one of the episodes that you can tune out a little bit and then jump back in a little bit later when we move on to another. I'm not really doing a good job of selling this.
So you've told people to skip the episode or just kind of don't really listen. One or the other.
Just tune this one out.
You know, just play it. Just put your phone in another room, turn it on, and then just walk away, because who the fuck cares? We're trying to put out a goddamn show.
Okay.
My God.
If you enjoy sort of cinema coming to a podcast listening app near you, we have the commercial break brought to you by Sorta Cinema Studios, Dalton James and Ryan Chu.
I'm
still trying to sell it and it's just not landing for me. Okay.
You've sold it.
I'm excited about this. I know it doesn't sound like it, but I'm super pumped to be here. I think it's going to be fun that we're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think that if you don't have the listening stamina to listen to it a whole hour and a half podcast, this one might be a little bit shorter. It might be something that you can, you know, kind of jump in and out of without worrying, oh, what did I miss, you know?
Okay, I see.
This is the what did I miss episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, like during a commercial break when you're watching TV, it's like when you maybe, you know, you get up, you get a different drink or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you like talk about like what you were just watching, try to figure out like, oh, what did I miss here? That's what this episode is.
What
is our in-between?
Now that we've introduced it properly, what are some of the most memorable commercials from your life, your childhood, or whatever that you, you know, just love or just come straight to your brain? For me, there's the guy, I think it's either Allstate or Progressive, and he's Chaos, he's played by that guy.
He's still doing him.
I love that guy.
I love that guy.
You gotta love Flo from Progressive.
Yep. She makes a lot of money doing those ads.
I heard. Yeah. She's at the Groundlings.
Yeah, she's a Groundlings member. She's, I think, for a stand-up comic in San Francisco.
Wow.
And she probably makes millions of dollars doing Progressive ads.
That's just, one time I was getting my hair cut, and the person who was cutting my hair, like, I told her, I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I act and stuff. And she goes, oh, I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to be an actor, which always just makes you feel really good, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. When someone's not doing that thing and telling you how they also wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. As if at one point, I will end up being a hairdresser as well. Which, you know, not to disparage hairdressers, but also don't disparage following your dreams and following your passions.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm going maybe off on a second tangent here.
Okay. Go for it.
My teacher today, I was at UCB class, and he said that a lot of the people that he knows that listened to his parents and did the job that they, you know, were like, oh, go be this or go be that, you know. Because the world is kind of fucked up right now, those people are struggling to find work and to, you know, fight against inflation too.
It's true.
So if you're going to be on the edge of a knife, you might as well do it doing something that you love. You
know? I've always said that.
So here...
I said that exactly.
You don't need to take a class. Just listen to your friend a little bit more.
You spent all that money on the class. You could just be listening to me.
But yeah, I was getting my hair cut, and she was like, you know, I always wanted to be an actor. And you know who I think has the best gig is Flo from Progressive. She probably shows up, does like one day of work, you know, a year, and just makes, just rolls, brings it in, you know?
It's true. She's a stand-up comedian, so she's still doing what she loves. Because I'm sure, like, I don't know. I'm not, like, you know, I don't know her.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that, like, being the ad rep for Progressive is probably not her, like, dream.
Yeah.
But, man, everybody's got a day job, and that's a pretty sick day job.
Yeah. And she also gets to practice or, like, exercise the muscle of the thing that, you know, because, like, I tell myself that sometimes as a server. I'm like, oh, I'm practicing being fake as fuck. You know, like, yeah. Like I'm putting on a thing, I have lines and I'm practicing them, but it's just not that. Flo from Progressive is a little bit closer to a day job that influences her comedy. Yeah. And stuff, you know.
Yeah, the guy that I always really admired as far as commercials go, it's the Limu Emu guy.
What's the Limu Emu?
Limu Emu. It's just this character of this guy. He has a mustache. It's supposed to be like a buddy cop thing. It's for Liberty Mutual, and he has an emu with him. You haven't seen these?
No.
I love this man. And it's just him with sunglasses on, and it's like every commercial is like another episode of like a buddy cop show from the 70s, and the emu is just his partner.
His buddy.
Yeah,
his partner
in crime. I love it. It's like my favorite thing.
When I was probably 12 or 13, I had this running theory, and it lasted for a year or two, and it was that Geico isn't real.
Just Geico as a company?
Geico is not real. Oh. That, and I would ask people, I'm like, do you know anybody who actually has Geico?
Yeah.
And for like a year or two, I would ask people that, and the answer would be no. Like, I don't know anything about... Now that I'm reflecting on it, I was 12 or 13. So, of course. But I was able to...
Geico,
I was able to convince a lot of people that Geico may or may not be real. Yeah. So think about it.
So, think about it. Geico might not be an actual... It's a front.
Or it's a prank.
Geico, for sure, has spent the most money on ads. They have some iconic ad campaign.
Well, it's that little Liz the Gecko guy.
The Gecko guy is one of them. They also had the Geico caveman thing. Mm-hmm. That spun into a sitcom for a minute.
Did it?
Yeah, there was one season of the Geico caveman sitcom, and I believe Nick Kroll was part of it.
Really?
I think so. And if it's not, I'm going to cut this part, but I'm pretty sure Nick Kroll was one of the cavemen.
Well, we might just have to do an entire, you know, three episodes where we just cover...
Just the caveman show. I think it was called The Cavemen.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
We might have to. What do you say we watch a commercial right now?
Let's do it, brother.
Brother! This one's from Remco Toys.
As always, or not as always, we are playing this commercial in the background. So it opens up.
Goes a B-52 jet bomber.
And it's America's a plane.
It is a B-52
wish
fighter.
You were part of her crew. Now you can experience this thrill with Remco's big B-52 ball turret gun. Radar scopes.
It's a kid's toy.
Snap on intercom and oxygen.
There's a kid and he's putting on a mask.
Load ammo. Sights up. Enemy at 2 o'clock.
He's in the ball turret.
Open fire.
There's a kid who's firing this fake gun, this B-52 bomber gun.
It looks sick.
Just reload and you're ready to attack again.
Attack.
Now, get the feeling you're really in a ball turret and really firing.
I feel like every child wants.
Complete with oxygen mask, intercom, ammo gauge, radar scope, and turret traverse.
They're all just stickers.
Yeah.
Remember, every boy wants a Remco toy, and so do girls.
And so do girls.
That's just a reminder.
Yeah, it's girls can have ball turrets, too. weird ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an ad that is... look, I remember growing up, I grew up in the 90s, there were military and oftentimes police toys.
Toys, yeah.
That, like, you could go to Walmart and
I had, like,
buy.
Spy toys.
A lot of spy toys.
Those were cool.
I remember buying and getting, like, as a kid, handcuffs and, like, a baton.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You could go to Walmart and they'd be like, a firefighter kit, a doctor kit, and there would be a little policeman kit. That, in retrospect, it's kind of weird.
It's like, I kind of want to joke and be like, well, what other weird toys would they advertise that aren't appropriate? But it's like, we pretty much hit all of them. That would be kind of weird.
Drug dealer kit.
A drug dealer toy. This is just your terrorist toy set.
This one's weird. I mean, it's a product of the 60s for sure, because I think Vietnam's going on. It's strange. I've been watching Masters of the Air on Apple. Not an ad. Not sponsored. And being in a ball turret is kind of one of the most terrifying fucking things I can think of.
If you weren't able to tell from the recording, it is a toy that it's a fake, like, cockpit thing.
It's a ball turret.
Yeah, a ball turret. And it's a toy that a kid straps into and shoots.
With an oxygen mask.
Yeah. It's got radar. It's got oxygen mask. It's got everything.
I'm just imagining, like, if this was sold today, first off, it would be really strange.
Shoot your little sister.
But, like, imagine going into, like, you're visiting some friends and their kids in the living room sitting in, like, this thing's massive,
cockpit,
by the way.
Yeah.
This thing's huge. And just sitting in a ball turret. I'd be like, this kid, what's happening in this house? It's really weird.
Here, you fly it. I'm going to sit in the back. The second mom and dad come through the door, open fire.
But, you know, I was thinking, this is pre video games.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah,
there's, if you know, Call of Duty and stuff, if there's like a whole thing where you had to be in a ball turret, that's what this is. And I think a lot of these weird military toys got replaced with like Call of Duty and
it's
stuff.
Just the thing is, though, is that those like Call of Duty is advertised to like people who, or if there's a rating on it,
yeah.
You know, it's like you got to be
17
or older.
Yeah,
you know?
This is a 10-year-old child wearing. It's freaky. He's wearing like an oxygen mask,
yeah.
And he's like, they show him like vigorously reloading his turret with like
it's like being depressurized, and he's got to stay in there.
We gotta shoot down the commies.
it's got a radar. It's got multiple rounds and a detached arm of a Vietnamese soldier for your enjoyment.
That's what it feels like. It's really weird. It kind of, it's definitely a relic of its time.
There's always ads towards wanting to get kids in the military, and I figure, I don't know. I feel like if I was a kid, and you know, I see this on Sunday morning cartoons, I'm like, do I want to join the military now?
Well, I want to be clear. I want one of these. Like, I did think about looking to see if I could find one on eBay.
Could you?
I don't know. I haven't looked yet.
So you did think about
it. I thought about looking it up. It looks pretty cool. I bet you it was probably designed pretty well. The little oxygen mask.
Yeah.
I had a lot of G.I. Joes and stuff growing up. So, like, I did grow up in the same, like military toys era.
My dad was born in 66, so he could have... Like,
he might have had a ball turret.
Yeah. I know that he had toys like this growing up for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we kind of all did. Did you have like Nerf guns?
I had Nerf guns.
Yeah. I mean, Nerf guns were kind of, especially, I don't know if you.
But it wasn't like a, you know, Civil War musket, you know, Nerf gun.
A lot of my G.I. Joes were themed after specific wars, which, again, in retrospect, kind of weird.
Well, I think the whole purpose of G.I. Joes is to advertise
war.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that they get funding from the U.S. government.
It's propaganda.
You could correct me if I'm wrong. We're not going to do a sort of corrections on it. But, you know, you heard it here first, folks.
The U.S. government is infiltrating your children's minds with G.I. Joes. I believe it.
I watched a whole thing about how there's like a kind of a lot of like movies and stuff. I do know for a fact that Transformers, I think like 1 to 4, the Shia LaBeouf movies, are funded and supported by the U.S. government.
Wow.
That also, Captain Marvel was, the U.S. Air Force, like, funded some of that. I think that, like, Transformers, like, 5 or 6, they stopped doing that. And, there's a lot of talks about how competent the Chinese government is in those movies, and they were funded by the Chinese government. A lot of it's just propaganda. Yeah,
I didn't think playing this ad would
would unearth
the giant conspiracy of multi-governments.
And once again, you know, this is something that I saw while scrolling through TikTok.
Oh.
So when I say I know for a fact...
That you saw it on TikTok.
Yeah, I heard it. This is secondhand information.
I know for a fact I saw it on TikTok.
We're not here to pretend like we know facts and real things. This is sort of cinema.
These are sort of factual.
Sort of factual.
Anything we say, fucking Google it.
Yeah. Don't. We're not doing... We're never doing a sort of corrections again. Okay? Sorry, Mom.
I got another ad for you.
Okay.
This one is a Subway ad from 2005, and it's a familiar face in this ad. Go ahead and play it.
So it opens on the U.S. Congress. Yes. Congress.
So this committee must know, did you ingest
looks like an impeachment hearing.
Anything that helped create this change in your physique?
Yes.
It's Jared Fogle.
Usually on the stand. 6-inch turkey breast sub for lunch and a foot-long veggie delight for dinner.
You get those over the counter?
Yes, at a Subway restaurant.
They're bringing out a platter of sandwiches for the senators to try. They love them.
At one point, they held up a picture of Fat Jared.
And he asked, am I free to go?
Okay, so that one was an ad for Subway.
Yeah, from 2005.
And it was Jared Fogle at the U.S. Congress.
Yeah. And it's like he's getting impeached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's before a committee, and it's called the subcommittee hearing.
I didn't even fucking notice
as
that.
As in Subway sandwiches.
It's the subcommittee.
And the point of...
I didn't notice that. That's kind of funny. It's on S-cam.
As like in Subway C-span. Cam.
Yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. Subway cam. Holy shit. This goes deeper than I thought.
But the whole point... is the, like the thing that they're kind of convening for, that what the committee is gathered to talk about, is the fact that Jared lost a lot of weight.
Yes, and they hold up like an exhibit of a picture of like Fat Jared. And they're like, how do you explain how you look now? And he's like, I just eat sandwiches. It's weird though, in the context of who we know Jared Fogle to be.
A pedophile. Yeah.
10 years after this commercial was aired, he was arrested for pedophilia.
And convicted,
and is currently in prison. There's a great documentary, Jared from Subway, that you should watch, and it's wild. Because we all know that, like, oh, he's a pedophile, he went to jail. It's so much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. The dude had some delusions.
I didn't know about any of that. I mean, just for those of our audiences who maybe don't know who Jared Fogle is, in the 90s, Subway was trying to market themselves as, you know, eat fresh, eat healthy food.
Yep.
We are the kind of healthy fast food alternative to things like McDonald's and Burger King and whatnot. And we found this guy who eats exclusively Subway sandwiches, and he's lost an incredible amount of weight. And so he was the flow from Progressive for Subway for a little bit.
Don't you ever put the category.
He would pop up in all the commercials talking about how fat he was before and how much skinnier he is now because of Subway.
And it's true, because I watched the documentary and I was like, I wonder how true that is. Did he actually only eat? Because his claim was that he only ate Subway.
Uh-huh.
It's true. He only ate Subway for years.
Wow.
And actually did lose like 100 pounds just eating Subway.
Maybe I should switch to Subway.
There's still health concerns about whether you're getting the proper nutrients in your body.
Look, it's got lettuce.
Yep.
You could throw some olives in there, some tomatoes, some cucumbers.
You're describing my Subway order right now. That is basically what I get.
That's probably just those four vegetables I mentioned. It's probably more vegetables than most Americans get.
Yeah, and one of the things, he would eat a turkey sandwich. I think he says it in this ad. He would eat a 6-inch turkey sandwich for lunch, and he would eat a foot-long veggie delight for dinner. And he did that for years and lost a ton of weight. And Subway was like, this is great. We'll rebrand ourselves as healthy. And then he was a pedophile.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I would start eating Subway sandwiches to slim down a little bit, but I don't want to become a pedophile.
Oh, you're saying Subway did it. It's something about the veggie delight.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is not a good line to go down. Let's skip to what you were just talking about before I cut you off.
That is just, it's a wild thing. To me, it's wild that Jared, in 2005, he had already dabbled in some illegal activities.
Yeah.
And then Subway approached him and was like, you want to do an ad where you're like clearly like being accused of crimes?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, let's do it. How delusional.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he's just like, I'm a celebrity. Yeah. You know, like there's no way that I could ever get. It's like we were talking about before, you know, Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Was in the TV show You. He's a famous stand-up comedian. He was very popular. He was in the TV show You, and his whole character thing was that he was like kind of talking inappropriately with underaged women. Well, since the era of that series of episodes, he has been accused. He hasn't been convicted of anything, yeah, or tried even that. Of talking to underage women.
There's screenshots of texts that so many women have come forward.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, like, he for sure did, but, like, I mean, accused.
Yeah.
I don't want to get sued by Chris D'Elia. I feel like that would be a pain in the ass. But
I'm kind of just thinking about, like, other, like if Trump was, like, going on a commercial for, you know, like, lawn care, and they put him on the stand for, like, destroying people's lawns and rallying a bunch of people to destroy someone's lawn.
It wouldn't age well. No. It's in the same category.
I'm sure that we could find commercials with Trump.
I found a from commercial the past. With Trump while I was doing research for this episode. I did find a commercial for Trump. He mostly did fast food ads.
Oh, really?
Which makes sense. The man is famously very obsessed with McDonald's.
A lot of rich people are like super into fast food.
Yeah.
Like Warren Buffett or whatever.
Yeah,
he has
a McDonald's order.
Yeah, he like picks which like Egg McMuffin he gets based on how the stocks are doing that day. And he goes through the drive-thru every day, which is kind of wild.
It's a weird thing where I think they're just trying to seem like they're down to earth. And
yeah.
It's like, no, you're not down to earth. You're Warren Buffett and you're Donald Trump. And I don't, did you remember when I think it was, who was it? There was a football team. They won the Super Bowl. I don't remember which year it was. And they all came to the White House because you always get invited to the White House if you win the Super Bowl. And he served McDonald's to all of them. Trump served at the White House McDonald's. Like at the White House. And you're showing up thinking like, I'm going to the White House for this big celebratory dinner. You're thinking you're going to get filet mignon. You're going to get like some good White House food.
And you just get like a McChicken.
Fucking room temperature chicken McNuggets. That happened.
I am pulling up Donald Trump's diet because I've heard this before and it's kind of insane. In the morning, he either eats bacon and eggs, cereal, or a McDonald's McMuffin.
What kind of cereal he eats? I feel like it's a children's cereal.
Yeah.
It's like Lucky Charms.
I was just going to say Lucky Charms. Yeah. There's something about him that screams Lucky Charms.
It's Lucky Charms. Charms, so.
I need the luck. I just need it. I'm going to capture that little fucker and I'm going to put him in my bowl and I'm going to slurp him up.
That's what it feels like. Like he likes the weird Irish stereotype.
It's the only thing that makes me feel like I have money because I'm actually completely broke according to my taxes.
He eats Lucky Charms.
For lunch, his former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, claims that the president would usually go 14 to 16 hours without eating.
One of those guys.
Yeah, but apparently he's a big fan of meatloaf. Melania appeared on Martha Stewart where they prepared a meatloaf sandwich, which Trump said was his favorite kind. It's okay. If you're going to go do this thing with Martha, you need to make food for me. And food, it's got to be my favorite kind of food. A meatloaf sandwich.
Dude, I can't even knock him for the meatloaf sandwich because have you ever had a meatloaf sandwich?
I have.
I love a meatloaf sandwich. Sometimes I make an entire meatloaf just to make sandwiches out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't like having something in common with this man.
For dinner, he's quoted as saying, one bad hamburger, you can destroy McDonald's. One bag of hamburger, and you take Wendy's and all these other places, and they're out of business. I like cleanliness. I think you're better off going there than maybe some place you have no idea where the food is from.
What? Hold on. You said one?
One bad sandwich, one bad hamburger, you can destroy McDonald's. It's just like what we're going to do to Korea. One bad katsu plate, And I'm going to take out Japan.
One bad hamburger, you could take out a burger place.
I have a full McDonald's dinner, of two Big Macs, two fish and filet sandwiches, and a small chocolate kit shake, which is a total of 2,430 calories.
Two Big Macs.
Mm-hmm.
Two fish fillets.
Uh-huh. And
a small shake.
A small chocolate shake.
Because you know, you got to cut the calories.
Yeah, he's thinking about his figure, you know. You got to keep it low.
Two Big Macs and two fish fillets.
That could probably just be my entire day's worth of food.
Yeah, over the course of like an entire day. Mm-hmm. You've been with me at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know what I do there.
What do you do?
You've seen me with... I remember specifically there was a time we were driving and I said, let's stop at McDonald's. And I ordered three cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I ate all three of them before you saw me open the first
one. Wait. The way you said that, it sounded like you then opened the first one after.
No.
Like you just put your hands on the burgers and consumed them and then you unwrapped them.
You saw me opening the third burger,
uh-huh.
And you said, is that, you were like, did you already eat? Because I had crumpled up the bag.
Yeah.
And you were like, you've eaten all three of them? You were horrified.
I just didn't know what had happened. I was so confused.
I have a problem. I've brought it up on this podcast before. Uh-huh. I have a bit of a problem with McDonald's. With McDonald's specifically, I have a bad habit.
Disordered eating, but only with McDonald's.
I have a McEating disorder where I just eat McDonald's a lot and it's a problem. But
I kind of want to write a sketch now where it's a McDonald's commercial and it's for their new McEating disorder. We're advertising our brand new McEating disorder.
I could never do two Big Macs and two fish fillets. First off, the fish fillets. Who the fuck is eating?
You're really trying to make it seem like you're different from him, but I feel like you are.
The meatloaf sandwich.
You could take care of it.
I am a little defensive because as you were describing everything, I was like, that all sounds pretty fucking good.
He's not an asshole. He eats well, and
I'm voting for Trump in 2024 purely because of what he eats. Meatloaf sandwiches and Big Macs? You're describing my Tuesday, baby. Like, that sounds great. And a small chocolate shake.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Let's do another commercial.
Should we?
I think so.
I might have come up with something else to say. Because we're talking about Jared Fogle.
Oh, yeah, Jared Fogle.
But also Trump, you know?
It's similar.
They're the same person.
And very popular at one point in time, and then a hell of a downfall. And congressional hearings. you can draw a direct line between both of them and ending up in front of Congress.
It's like the people that believe that Harambe caused COVID-19, and they draw the line of like,
oh, when he died.
That's why the world, that's where the split in the multiverse happened.
I've heard that, and I've also heard when Kobe died, that's when everything fell apart. And I remember finding out Kobe died, and then like 2 weeks later, I was locked in my house. Yeah, I remember. He was holding it all together.
Okay.
Let's play another commercial.
Okay.
This is our third commercial. This is for a product that no longer exists. It's called Body on Tap. This is from sometime in the 70s.
Mmm, clean. I mean, really clean. And it holds any.
We got Kim Bassinger.
New beer enriched shampoo, Body on Tap.
You heard that right.
Your hair beer. Super body, super hold.
Shampoo.
Brewed with 1/3 real beer.
Wow.
But don't drink it. Just shampoo.
Don't drink
it. Whether I roll it, pin it, curl it, or blow it dry. It gives my hair super body, super hold.
And the shine of your life. It's the beer shampoo that does it in three bodybuilding formulas.
That's body.
On tap.
So the commercial is for beer shampoo.
Yes.
Which yes. I guess beer... things, I mean, there was a huge fad in the 70s of having things that were beer-like.
I don't know. This is Kim Bassinger that is promoting this product. It is a shampoo that is 1/3 beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked into it to see if this company still exists. They do not, but Anheuser-Busch was providing the beer, and they didn't want anything to do with this product.
It's kind of ironic that they're like, oh yeah, you know, a little bit of beer is going to give you a better body in your hair. Like, for me, drinking beer does not give me a better body in my body.
No, you know? Yeah. It does make it fuller body. I have gotten a fuller body from beer.
Yeah, more curls.
More curls. I got a lot of curls now. It's a strange product, and she loves it. She's smelling her hair. I'm just imagining, like, Bud Light in my hair.
Well, I mean, you could picture the guys in the marketing room, and they're like, okay, you know, we're going to come. Okay, what are we going to do? We got to sell shampoo.
Yeah.
We're going to sell it to women. What do we add to the shampoo? Okay, I got it. We're going to put beer. Men love beer, right? At least for us, we love beer. And if you want women to get more men, you got to put beer on the women, and then they smell like a beer, and then they get men. And it makes so much sense,
right? It just makes so much sense. I think it was like those old Reese's ads where, like, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. No, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. Some guy was in the shower, and he accidentally mixed up his shower beer with his shampoo, and he was like, this is amazing.
This is exactly what I needed.
Look at how well my hair is shining right now. I have an idea. Body on Tap. Watch. Also, that name.
Do you want to smell like a brewery at 2 a.m.? Buy Body on Tap.
It's like, it's so gross. I did a little bit of a deep dive into Body on Tap because I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why doesn't this exist anymore? There were some accusations that Anheuser-Busch was denaturing the alcohol out of the beer with formaldehyde, didn't tell any of the employees at Budweiser, but then told them, don't put this beer in any truck with the Budweiser logo on it. Uh-huh. I guess because there was a chance it could end up at a grocery store and someone would crack into it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Formaldehyde.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which is terrifying. And they apparently, there was some stories that prisoners were getting a hold of Body on Tap and drinking it.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Drinking shit. I did, actually, when I was a child, I might have tried a little shampoo in the shower once.
Oh, really? How was it?
It tasted like shampoo. Because it was like strawberry shampoo. I remember it was Suave strawberry shampoo. Uh-huh. My mom would buy it, and it smelled great. And I was like, what does it taste like? Not strawberries. It doesn't taste like strawberries.
I mean, look, man, if you're in jail for an extended period of time and you're not allowed to have alcohol and you can't have cigarettes,
make some toilet wine like normal. That's what you're supposed to do.
But you got to try it. You're not seeing the commercial. You're not hearing the public discourse. Like, you don't know that there's not real beer in it, you know?
Oh, there's
like,
formaldehyde in it.
You don't know that. And maybe you don't read the back of bottles because nobody did that sort of thing in the 70s.
That's true. It's really wild.
And like, what other kind of things would those marketing people put into beer, not into beer, but into shampoo to try to sell it to people? Cigarette ash. Pantene. Now with cigarette ash.
Ew. I hate
you. Want to smell like an ashtray? Try herbal essences. The herb is tobacco.
And he likes it too. Oh, that's gross. I've smelled like cigarettes for about 10 years and I don't want to put it. I also don't want to smell like beer.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good smell to me. I don't ever crack open a beer and then go like, ooh, that smells really nice.
Put it in a wine glass and waft it.
It's like famously doesn't smell great.
Yeah.
Maybe hops. Like, I've bought hop like body wash before. That's
really?
Yeah, that's an okay smell. I like that. But I do not want beer in my hair. I've had beer in my hair. We've all had beer in our hair, okay? Like, we've all had it happen, not on purpose.
We've all had beer in our hair.
Trump's back.
We all like meatloaf sandwiches. We all have beer in our hair. He still uses Body on Tap.
He owns the brand now, and he has Anheuser-Busch just produce it for him.
I found the company. I found the chemical company. I bought it all up. I refuse to let them sell this stuff because it's so good. It's only for me.
It's Trump-branded Body on Tap. You know, he's sober. Not even sober. He doesn't touch alcohol.
Doesn't touch it?
No. He won't drink alcohol.
I wonder if it's because he was an alcoholic before.
No, it's because his brother was an alcoholic. It's like one of the only human things I know about this man. Why is this gotten so like weirdly positive Trump? What's happened?
That's just such a wild thing because I've never pictured him as having like a brother, you know?
He had an older brother, Fred, I think.
It's like the only thing with his family is like his dad, you know? And like I just figure him to be like just as much of like a crony as he is.
Yeah.
But it's like the fact that his brother died of alcoholism, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, and Trump was like, I'll never touch his stuff.
We're going to get taken off of Apple Podcasts for this episode.
Look, we don't... I don't even know what to say.
Cut it. Just cut it. Just cut it all. We don't want this to air. We're cutting everything.
He loves meatloaf sandwiches, though. Let's play another ad. This one is it's another shampoo ad, but I feel like these two ads back-to-back tell a bit of a story. Mm-hmm. This one's for a company called Every Night Shampoo. It's also from the 70s.
It's a woman. It says Friday on the screen.
Yeah.
Hello.
Linda, it's Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. I feel like I talk to you every
night. Yeah, about as often as you wash your hair.
Mark, you're being sarcastic.
Well, you're being a shampoo nut. I mean, just because what? Every night shampoo is gentle enough to use every night doesn't mean your hair gets dirty enough every night to use it.
Mark. How often do you wash your face?
Mark,
every
fuck
day.
You.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, doesn't your hair get dirty as often as your face?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
Every night, lemon, herb, and balsam shampoo from Helene Curtis.
Mark, you call me every night telling me some bullshit. Last week, you told me I eat too much bread. The other day, you told me I need to use higher quality gasoline in my car. Why don't you mind your own fucking business, Mark?
Mark is a fucking nuisance.
Yeah.
He's calling people up. Imagine getting a phone call from somebody and just being like, hey, I think you wash your hair too much. I also love that she says, oh, hi, Mark.
Like it's the room.
Oh, hi, Mark. And he just goes off on her about shampoo.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I think if she's using Body on Tap, she may have developed a dependency on this shampoo, and this was an intervention from her friend Mark.
She's addicted.
She's addicted because if you were actually to look at what she's doing in the shower, she's just
chugging,
chugging Body on Tap.
It's delicious. My brother was an alcoholic.
He's back again.
And now I just drink shampoo. Because it's good. It helps clean my insides.
This is also very much a product of its time because there was like a push by shampoo companies in the 70s to make you wash your hair every single day with shampoo, which is not good for your hair.
Yeah.
And you should not wash your hair every day with shampoo, but
it like destroys the natural oils or whatever.
Yeah, you got like an equilibrium up there. You should wash your hair, but you don't have to shampoo your hair every day. And this guy, I feel like, knew that and was like, hey.
Wait, okay, we gotta do something about this. She's washing her hair every day with shampoo. Did you see her scalp? Dandruff everywhere.
We need to call her.
I've got an idea. Head and shoulders. That way she can wash her hair every night and it stops the dandruff.
And this woman wanted nothing to do with it. I also love that in the beginning of this ad, it lets you know that it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume because she's washed her hair every day, and now that they've gotten to the end of the week and Mark the stalker has peered in through her bathroom window every night, he has enough evidence to conclude that she washes her hair every single night.
She's been there since Monday.
Yeah.
A fifth day of washing
what
her hair.
What is wrong with this lady?
I gotta make a phone call.
First, I thought I was a pervert, but now I just want to help the girl out.
Like the concerned pervert.
Yeah, exactly.
That's only concerned with the natural oils in her hair. Yeah, how does he know that she washes her hair? That's a good fucking question.
Yeah.
Is he peering through fucking windows?
Yeah, because it's not like it's her husband, because she doesn't say, like, honey. He's not, like, there in the house being like, hey, honey, I noticed you just washed your hair again.
It's fucking Mark. Just Mark calling
Mark,
her.
Mark, you're always calling me. What's your problem?
I don't know. You wash your hair again today?
No.
Well, are you sure about that? Because I saw you.
She should be fucking concerned.
Yeah, I would definitely be concerned.
I had not considered that she might have Mark the stalker just watching her wash her hair. And I just love the fact that he's concerned about it.
Well, you know, that's some of the things that we cover here on Sorta Commercials. We figure these things out. That's why we play this. This is our commercial break.
She had a zinger in the barrel, though. She comes right back like, how often you wash your fucking face, Mark?
Yeah.
And he was like, every day. Well, doesn't your hair get as fucking dirty as your fucking dirty face, Mark? And he was like, yeah, I guess so. And then she hung up on him. She won.
Which is crazy because now we're on her side.
I was.
But her side is for washing her hair every day, and we're also not on that side.
No.
We've been tricked by the media, man.
Holy shit.
We've been bamboozled. We like Trump now. We wash our hair every day. You want to get a B-52 bomber in your house.
Oh my
what
God.
Is wrong with us?
I'm also ordering Subway right after this.
Oh no. You're a pedophile, man.
No.
Oh no.
You know what's going to help us?
What? Another commercial?
Another commercial, and I think this one specifically is going to really clear our minds.
Okay, okay.
Understand life. Read Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard.
It's a volcano. Manuals for the human exploding.
For only $5.95, it's a great investment.
With a book.
In yourself.
Cascading over the volcano.
That is,
it's Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard.
It's Dianetics. They're selling Dianetics in a regular TV commercial.
They tried to do this like thing where it's like a volcano exploding, and it's like, I don't know, it's like
unlocking the human mind.
Yeah, I mean, look how explosive nature is. I don't know what the reasoning, the metaphor, like what they're trying to say by having a volcano blowing up over a book commercial. You want to blow your fucking mind?
I think that's what it is.
Read this book.
Yeah, read Dianetics. It's gonna fucking, your mind is gonna explode like a volcano. It's weird.
For those of you who don't know, L. Ron Hubbard pioneered the I don't want to get sued, man.
The religious movement.
The religious movement of Scientology.
Yes.
Which is notoriously kind of like, it's notorious as in these aren't the beliefs sort of cinema, but it's notorious in some circles as being kind of wacky and kind of out there.
If you say allegedly before everything, it's fine. It's allegedly fucking crazy.
Yeah, allegedly the people who are a part of this believe that fucking aliens were shot down by a meteor or something, and that we're descendants of those aliens, but their spirits are also in the world, and those are the gods that we pray to, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And just like everything else we say on this podcast, my description was alleged, and I don't at any point attempt to give you a real understanding, allegedly.
And also, allegedly, Scientology, the reason why we're tiptoeing is that they are known to be quite allegedly litigious.
Yes. Yeah,
they will sue you for disparaging them, mm-hmm. which, you know, all disparagement aside, L. Ron Hubbard was, before he founded the religion of Scientology, a science fiction writer.
Yeah.
And Dianetics was allegedly a work of fiction. And just to see an ad for it like this, I mean, this is basically their Bible. Mm-hmm. This is what they use when you go into the, I worked across the street from the Church of Scientology the other day. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. I was there, and across the street, totally empty building. It's I think it used to be a hospital, and now they turned it in. It's the Celebrity Center.
Oh, that's where UCB is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, right there on like Franklin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can like look up, and it was at night, and there was one window on. And you know that building. It's fucking huge. Yeah. That big blue building.
Yeah. It's not blue.
Oh, my God.
The
one got to my brain.
The one across from UCB, it like has that like kind of old Spanish Hollywood architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not blue.
Like Tower of Terror. No. It's like the color of the Tower of Terror, like a cream. Huh. Maybe it's blue. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe I don't think it's blue.
It's one of those things where like they've designed the building in such a way so you can't actually record it with your brain. Yeah. Like it erases. Like what color is it? How many windows are there?
We're super popular. Scientology is like, that's an LA thing.
Oh, you know? Yeah. You can go to Pasadena and they will walk up to you and ask you if you've heard about Dianetics.
I think like a big way that they get people is by capturing the minds of people who come to Hollywood to become actors.
Yes.
And they're like, we'll show you the way in.
Yeah.
There's actually, if you go on like casting websites and stuff,
yeah,
they have ads for, you know, casting listings or whatever, casting calls for their movies, because they have movies and TV shows that they make. And it doesn't say that this is a Scientology thing.
Until you show up.
Yeah, but I know a few people who have gone and who have done it, and it's like, you know, they'll pay them like $400 or whatever for like a couple hours worth of work, and then try to get them to join the Church of Scientology after.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. They're an interesting group. I remember when I first moved here, I went to Old Town Pasadena, and they have the Scientology Center there too. There's a few of them around here. And I was looking through the window, and I was looking at an e-meter. And my old roommate was with me, and she was looking through the window, and she was like, what is that thing? And I was like, that's an e-meter. This is a Scientology building. And then she started going off about Scientology.
Oh,
she just
really?
Started saying some inflammatory things. Uh-huh. And behind her, there was these two guys walking up holding the Dianetics book that were going to try to get her to join. And she was talking mad shit, and they both turned around and
oh my
away.
God.
It was so awkward.
I love that story.
It was very awkward. And that was one of my first experiences in LA.
Well, you know what? Have your opinions, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, if you're a Scientologist and you're listening, you do you.
Oh, no, I was talking about your friend.
Oh, yeah.
To have her opinions. Oh, talk shit about people.
Oh, I didn't shut her up. Because I saw them walking away, and I was like, this is working.
Do it again.
Be louder. Oh man, yeah. Let's watch another ad. This one, this is for Hebrew Nationals. This is from 1975.
Government regulations
Uncle
say
Sam
we can make our Hebrew National beef
in front of clouds
from frozen beef. We don't. The government says we can use artificial coloring. We don't. They say we can add meat byproducts. We don't. They say we can add non-meat fillers. We can't. We're kosher and have to answer to an even higher authority.
Pretty intense ad for a hot dog.
As they're basically as they're going through each one of those things, it's Uncle Sam and he's in front of clouds
holding a hot dog,
and they say Uncle Sam doesn't want this, and you see him smiling. And then it says, but we do. And then you see his face drop.
Yeah.
Uncle
like
Sam does.
Surprised.
Yeah. And then at the end, when it says, because we answer to a higher power, it pans to, you know, light streaming from clouds in the sky, you know, God rays coming down.
Yeah.
It's the Lord.
It's the Lord.
The Jewish Lord.
And as the camera's panning up, Uncle Sam takes a bite of that hot dog. So I think a pretty intense ad
for
a hot dog company.
Look, here at Sorta Cinema, although we are covering two commercials that are about religion, we are not anti-religion.
No.
But do we think there needs to be a separation between the church and state, and possibly the Lord should... What? What face are you making?
I'm just thinking maybe a separation between church and hot dogs. That's where I draw the line.
Keep
religion out of my hot dogs.
Well, but that's the whole point, though, because then there's certain people who don't get to eat those hot dogs.
I actually love Hebrew Nationals. It's actually my favorite hot dog.
Wait, but you're not Orthodox.
No, but they make a damn good hot dog.
It's another religion that's very Hollywood, very LA, you know?
Yeah, you want to go down that road?
Fuck! We're going to get removed! No, there's just a large Jewish community.
There is.
And, you know, you see people wearing yarmulkes walking down the street all the time.
It's a good hot dog. And you know what? They answer to a higher power, and I got to agree.
Allegedly.
No, they said it. They said we answer to a higher power. And I agree. It's a kosher hot dog, and it's good.
How did, in one commercial break, we go to supporting Donald Trump?
Talking about how the Jews run Hollywood.
Yeah, talking about the Jews run Hollywood.
It's all been from you.
Thousands of calories in meatloaf sandwiches.
I don't know, man.
It's gone downhill.
This is what happens in a commercial break. You know, you get to talking. Well, I usually talk to you about movies. If you just let us go off the rails, this is where it ends up.
Well, and is there secretly, you know, a lot of this stuff baked into some of these commercials that we watch? And do the Jews run Hollywood?
No.
That's not a very funny joke. It's not very funny. It's offensive.
As you nervously play with a tie wrap that you found.
Oh, God. I think we just got to go on to our next commercial before I say anything else inflammatory.
It's not inflammatory. Look, you don't mean it.
I hate Uncle Sam.
Yeah. I was really nervous about what you're going to say after that.
Uncle Sam is an ass clown.
Not just anti-American.
I don't think I'm very likable at this point in the podcast.
We're at Hebrew Nationals.
Yeah. I don't think you should cut any of it. I think you need to keep it all in there.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep it.
Because I'm reflecting on some of my more extremist views. And to do that live is valuable for the audience.
It shows that people can change. Mm-hmm. And people can say things that they don't mean.
Yeah, I'm a fucking bigot. And I should be canceled. Look.
You answer to a higher power.
I answer to a higher power.
Oh, Trump's back.
It's the power of hot dogs. Uncle Sam is the greatest.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's gone off the rails, man. We either got to play the next commercial or scrap the whole episode.
We're not going to scrap the whole episode.
You refuse.
I refuse to scrap this whole episode.
Okay.
I might, yeah, no.
I might cut most of what you
might
said.
Cut some things out.
Okay.
Yeah, let's play another commercial here.
This is our last one for the day.
Yeah, this is our last one. This is some familiar faces in this one. You might recognize these guys. These are the Flintstones. Mm-hmm. What are they selling? You're going to find out. We got Flintstones do some yard work. Betty Rebel.
They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah.
Barney and Fred.
I hate to see them work so hard. Yeah, me too.
Their wives are working.
Let's go around back where we can't see them. Gee, we ought to do
I'm just going to pause that for a second. Okay. So the wives are working while the men are just watching them work.
Yeah.
And they are admiring how hard they're working. And their conclusion is to go around back where we can't see them.
Yep. About taking a nap. I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break. That's it. Winston is the...
Winston cigarettes. Barney just produced a pack of Winston cigarettes mm-hmm. out of his pocket and has decided to give Fred a cigarette. Beloved cartoon character, Barney Rebel, has decided to give Fred Flintstone a cigarette.
One filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter. Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette chug.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette chug.
The Flintstone has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting...
And now all the Flintstones are
all smoking
cigarettes.
Like a cigarette chug.
And he sings a little song. Yeah, so there was a time in the 60s where cigarette use, I mean, obviously very just normalized, mm-hmm. and sometimes Fred Flintstone would just smoke a cigarette on TV.
And, you know, we, in the age of 2024, see the Flintstones as being kind of like a cartoon for kids, yeah. you know? So it's very startling.
When you see him light up a cigarette. Mm-hmm.
Which I am all for, by the way.
Oh,
I think kids should be smoking cigarettes. I think that they should be advertised on cartoons. Yeah. The earlier that you can get kids addicted to nicotine, yeah. the closer we are to having an all-white state.
I don't even know what to do with that. Is it because you did the Trump voice too many times?
Yeah, it's really
and
fucking
it just,
with
it infiltrated your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I see. That makes sense.
Nothing that I've said over the course of this podcast has anything to do with what I actually believe.
No, it's just doing an impression can sometimes put you in a mind. Look.
It's all alleged.
Ryan's an actor.
No. You know? Yeah.
No?
What?
Who are you? Have you been body snatched? Ryan's an actor, and sometimes an actor has to get into the mind of the character. Mm-hmm. And I think he spent too many minutes in this episode thinking about what would Donald Trump say in this situation. And you were thinking about that meatloaf sandwich, and you were thinking about that fish fillet. And I think, you know, you need to purge it. You need to purge it out of your brain.
With a Winston cigarette.
Yes.
If only we had some of those around.
Yeah, you could probably, if you smoked enough Winston cigarettes, just put yourself in the 60s, you know?
Uh-huh.
Imagine Barney Rebel smoking that cigarette.
Yeah.
You can probably, you know, that actually might not help. That might put you right back where you were. Yeah. Exhale it out. You feel it coming through your body? It's good.
Good.
Yeah. It worked.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why this podcast has been brought to you by Winston Cigarettes. Tastes like a cigarette shit.
Oh, no.
You know, this happens.
What were we even going to talk about with this?
Just how wild it is. You know, it's a weird thing to see cartoon characters smoking. I was thinking about it in this way. The Flintstones, we view as like a kid's show. It was like a family sitcom uh-huh. when it came out.
Uh-huh.
It's weird to think about it this way, but it's very close to how we view The Simpsons now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you see Homer Simpson crack open a Budweiser,
yeah,
it would be kind of odd.
It might be a little bottle of shampoo that he's cracking open.
He's just got some body on tap, but it wouldn't be that upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how you have to view this commercial. But I've seen this commercial before. It gets shared around a lot. There's something very weird about seeing Barney Rebel take a hit off a cigarette.
Well, and then to think, too, that, like, at one point, they're like, okay, so the cigarette thing, that's not cool anymore. That's out. We got to focus on health, right?
Yeah.
Children's
health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vitamins.
Flintstones vitamins.
Flintstones vitamins. Do they still have those?
Yeah, you can still get Flintstones vitamins.
But it's like, what kid today has seen the Flintstones? I feel like I've seen maybe 4 episodes of the Flintstones in my entire life.
That's true.
And that was like on Cartoon Network, like the Hanna-Barbera, you know, like
Boomerang.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Specialty Hour.
Yeah, that's true. How many kids have ever seen an episode of the Flintstones now? Probably not a lot. Because I used to watch the Flintstones, the Jetsons. Did you watch the Jetsons?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I used to watch a lot of hot Hanna-Barbera cartoons. But yeah, no kids now. Yeah, they're not. They should really probably rebrand Flintstones vitamins to something else.
Yeah, well, and then what other products is like Flintstones going to get behind to like market to kids? It's like, Barney, what is that AR-15 doing there?
We got to protect our house. Look,
gotta,
Barney.
We got to protect them from these other ethnicities.
Oh, God, it's happening.
I was really trying not to, and I just, I don't know, man.
I keep on saying, it happens.
You can keep excusing me, but everybody knows the Flintstones was racist.
Was it?
No, but it makes it seem like I'm not if I say that it is.
The Jetsons were racist.
Were they?
No. I just said that to make you feel better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Hanna-Barbera is a problem.
AI will not replace us.
Yeah. You're scary to be around today. Is it the rain? How, is it because we're like
how
recording?
Many minutes are we into this?
Is it because we're recording after the sun went down? Yeah, we're about an hour in. I think we're good.
All right, here on.
Hold on. You did this to me last time,
and I try to do it a little bit slower so that you could get on board.
Yeah,
here on Sort of Cinema.
Woo, let's go have a cigarette.
A Winston.
Just clean your brain.
Yeah, I need some beer shampoo on
You need some
brain.
Beer shampoo.
This has been a Shockfish Media production. If you like the show, please leave a rating and share the podcast with a friend. It really helps us out. For more Sort of Cinema, including clips from the movies, give us a follow on social media, @SortofCinema. See you next week.